we receive clarity
from the written word today.
We behold Christ today as he sees us in himself. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 2.
Luke 24.
My Bible is in Matthew 28. Okay, Luke 24. Let's write down to Luke 24. Even me. Glory to God. Luke 24, right? Hallelujah. Verses 25. And Jesus said to them, we are discussing on the church, the local church, and me. The church, the local church, and me. Okay. Luke 24, 4, verse 25. Jesus came and said to them, oh fools. Now, just get this. Jesus saw them and said, oh fools. Something must have happened, right? So most times, they like us to go before now. Verse 16. Two of Jesus' disciples were on their way to Emmaus. So they began to talk about the things that was happening around. What was the thing happening around? Jesus had arisen. Are you following me? Now look at verse 16. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Verse 17. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you talk and aside? Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and words before God and all the people. And how that the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping. You know, that is the word of that. This sentence I'm reading now, it shows unbelief. Yes. Are you following me? It shows that, okay, it shows, unbelief. Hallelujah. Unbelief. He said we were hoping that he would have been him. Did you see that? That he would have been him who was going to redeem Israel. They were hoping. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. You know, hallelujah. Glory to God. Fast. Hallelujah. So certain women from our midst, he said, astonished us. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Glory to God. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. You know, it shows that. Also, it shows that they didn't even believe that he was alive. Are you listening to me? And Jesus told them before now. Hallelujah. Yes, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Are you following me? Verse 24. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women have said. But him they did not see. Verse 25. And he said to them, oh fools. And can you ask why he called them oh fools? Why would he call them oh fools? Because they didn't believe. Now that word oh fools. I said this one time. Say if the Lord will call you a fool, meaning you are an anointed one. Hallelujah. He called them oh fools and small parts of the that's the word anthos. In the Greek, all fools. It means inability to use your mind. Inability to cast your mind back. Inability to comprehend scriptures. It's all fools. Anatomes. Now when the word out of those is a common word for not being able to use your mind. Say, oh fool and sloth heart. Now that sloth heart is shows unbelief. Hallelujah. Sloth heart to believe. All fools and sloth heart to believe. He said, in all that the prophet have what? Have spoken. Are you with me? Look at your Bible. Don't look at me, look at the Bible. He said, ought not, verse 26, the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into the glory, or into his glory. Say, ought not the Christ. Is it awful slumber to believe in all the prophets have spoken? Now, meaning, what Jesus is telling them is, didn't you read it from the scriptures that these are the words of the prophets? That Christ will suffer and enter into his glory. And then can't you see? It is in the scriptures. Genesis to Malachi. The prophet spoke about these things. He said, can't you see? Hallelujah. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into the into his glory. He said, beginning at Moses. Watch that word. Beginning at Moses, verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, where will be Moses? Moses will be Genesis. Are you following me? Beginning. Now, that word beginning means Genesis. Are you hearing me? So, Jesus is saying, starting from Moses. Starting from Genesis. Who was Genesis? Moses. And all the prophets. That will mean Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, down to Malachi. He said he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Are you following me? In all the scriptures, said the things concerning himself. So, meaning Jesus now taught them. Beginning at Moses, all the prophets, Genesis to Malachi. Jesus taught them from the scripture because that was all they had as Bible. Hallelujah. Then there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Hallelujah. So what they had as Bible was Genesis to Malachi. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that was what they had as Bible. So he taught them from Genesis to Malachi. He said the things concerning himself. So what would those things be? His death and his entry into glory. Are you following that? Are you following me? Glory to God. Look at verse 44. Amen. He got to his disciples, the 12, in verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. He said that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses. The law of Moses will be the first five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He says, now these are the words that I spoke to you while I was there, which is that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets. Would that include up to Malachi? Yes. He says, and the Psalms concerning me, meaning what the prophets will write about. Will be what? Concerning him. Are you following that? What the prophet will write about will be concerning him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul to Timothy. It says, from childhood, he says, you have known the Holy Scripture, say, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, from a child, he says, you have known the Holy Scriptures. What is the Holy Scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. That's what they had as scriptures. Is that he said, you've known the Holy Spirit, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Meaning the scripture has a center theme to be concerning salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So can you now see? So meaning all what the prophet is writing, all what they wrote about was concerning Christ. So meaning if I get to scriptures, I must not see stories. I must see stories that are concerning the stories of Christ. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? Because what they wrote all together, if you bring them together, it will be concerning his suffering and his entry into glory, which will be what? Concerning his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
So from was it last year? Last year we started that teaching, right? Understanding the gospel.
So we began to look at those things little by little, and to continue like that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. So meaning Jesus in the resurrection, we teach them concerning what the things concerning himself. How many days did he teach them? Acts 1 verse 3. He taught them for 40 days in the resurrection. Meaning when he resurrected for 40 days, he was teaching them the scriptures. Hallelujah. What was he teaching them? Genesis to Malachi. They had a teaching class. Hallelujah. So what did he teach them concerning his resurrection? Are you following me? What will be that resurrection? Would that be concerning his body? Yes. Would that be concerning the church? Yes. That's what we've been looking at for the past 4 weeks, right? Concerning his body, concerning the church. So Jesus will teach them for 40 days concerning the church. Amen. Amen. Something not to lose sight on. Hallelujah. Something not to lose sight on in verses 44. He said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you." That means that what Jesus spoke to them, when Jesus taught them pre-resurrection and post-resurrection, will stand together. Hallelujah. What Jesus wrote to them pre-resurrection and post-resurrection will stand together. They will be the same. Hallelujah. Concerning the resurrection, concerning the gathering in himself. Are you following me? Hallelujah. And what is that gathering in himself? The church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's see what Jesus taught them, what Jesus spoke to them concerning the resurrection while he was yet with them. Matthew 16. Now, Jesus wanted to speak to them about what will happen to him, what will happen in the resurrection. He asked a question. Amen. He asked a question in verses 13, he asked them a question. He said, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they began to give the answers. In verse 15, now he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Then Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ," verse 16, "the Son of the living God." Jesus replied Peter and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Meaning Peter knew by revelation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look down, look at verses 18. "And I said to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." He said, "The gates of hell will not prevail." And remember, we said, when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," today we can now read it as, in the resurrection, the church is built. Jesus is not trying to build his church. He said, "Upon this rock," we've investigated that word, this word, the word, the rock, right? "Upon this rock, which is upon this truth of me being the Christ," he said, "I will build my church." Now, when he now said the gate of hell will not prevail, down, when he uses the word hell, you know, a whole lot of us, especially in this part of Africa, we think whenever we just hear hell in scripture, we think it's fire. No, the word for hell here, you know, is the word Hades. Hades in the Greek. Are you hearing me? Now, most times you hear me quote Greek words. It's not so that you get bamboozled. No, we have to go back to tell you the Greek words so that you will understand what the writers had in mind. Because you know, over time, English and grammar change and evolved. Do you understand me? Grammar has evolved. It's just like I usually say this whenever I say this, I usually bring out something like this. You know, when Paul said, "My old man was crucified with Christ," the young guy said he has first rema. What is the rema? He said, "I now know who Paul's father is." You know, it was Paul that said, "My old man was crucified with Christ." He said, "I know who Paul's father is." And, you know, we wanted to hear the rema. "I know who Paul's father is." Who's Paul's father? He said, "Paul's father was that thief that was hung on the cross with Christ. I was like, how? Or like, you know, when Paul said, my old man, who's your old man, sir? Now, as at that point, I don't know what to say. Who is your old man, sir? Well, he heard it from someone. So it was, I heard it from him. Who's your old man, sir? You know, you call your popsy my old man. So Paul was saying my old man, which is his popsy, was rather, no. That is grammar that has evolved. Right? That is grammar that has evolved. But what was Paul referring to when he said old man? You have to now, that's why we'll now go back to the Greek, so that you would see that Paul was referring to his old nature. Do you understand me? That was why he uses the word old man. Do you understand me? Not his father. No. Was referring to nature. His nature. Who he was before he was saved. Do you understand me? Yes. So English evolves. But you know, when we go back to the root of the story, we can explain to you what the writers had in their minds when they wrote. Are you listening to me? So today, if you now hear the gate of hell, you'll not be thinking of hellfire. No. But if you now look at it very well, when you say hell, it's referring to the place of the dead. You will not pray that kind of holy prayer again. Do you understand me? You know, the place of the dead. It then means he was talking about his death. Do you understand? So what he's trying to tell you is that death will not stop me from doing what I want to do. What he's trying to tell you is that what he's saying there is that the gate of hell will not prevail. Means he's saying to you that, hey, the authority of the dead will not stop it. Meaning I will resurrect. That's what he's trying to tell you. Meaning death will not stop me from resurrecting. Do you understand? So meaning when he resurrected is a proof that what the gate of hell did not prevail. Are you following that truth? Amen. So in the resurrection, the church was founded. So the believer will not say, I will build my church, the gate of hell will not prevail. We will not read it like that today. Why? Because Jesus has arisen. So we will say, in the resurrection, he has built the church and the gate of hell did not prevail. Are you hearing me? So automatically you will not pray a silly prayer. Like you want to start, somebody wants to start up a ministry, evangelical, apostolic, pastoral, prophetic mission. One church. Amen. And I said, let us pray that as we launch into the apostolic anointing, together with the prophetic and the missionary, with the evangelistic mission we have, that the gate of hell will not prevail. And I said, where will we go? Hell will not prevail. Hell will not prevail. And they don't know that it has been done in the resurrection. Hell did not prevail. Are you following me? So you will not pray that kind of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what knowledge makes you see. That is not talking about an ongoing work, but something that he has done, that he will do in the resurrection. So in the resurrection, he has done it. So in the resurrection, now we read that verse. I have built my church and the gates of hell did not prevail. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And we saw how the church was built in the resurrection. We said the church was built holy, sanctified, right? Unified. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And lastly, we saw that the church has received what? I mean, in the church we have forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. We saw that the church, we don't have sin problem. There's no sin problem with the church of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Was that what we saw last week?
Yes.
Glory to God. Some people say, oh, the problem with the church is sin. No! It was dealt with on the cross. Hallelujah. We saw that, right? Glory to God. That indwelling of the Holy Ghost is the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Let us pray that the church will not suffer for sin.
Suffer for sin?
No. No. That means you're not reading your Bible well. Hallelujah. Our sins are forgiving us. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. If the church still has a sin problem, then Jesus' death is in vain. If the church still has holiness problem, then the death of Jesus is in vain. God has achieved unity in the church. Hallelujah. He said there is neither Greek nor Jew. Oh, glory to God. Amen. 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 Can we proceed? Okay. Then I'll build my church. The gate of hell will not prevail. So that has been achieved, right? So we said when Jesus resurrected, he resurrected as the church. Was that what we saw? That at the resurrection, he resurrected at the church. So he is the head of the church. And when we say he is the head, we say you should not picture a body, a physical body. No, picture the fact that when you say he's the head, it means he is the source. Right? He's the source. Hallelujah. And we, by the new birth, because of our identification with Christ, hallelujah, we are members of his body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We say the church does not lack, does not have Holy Ghost issue. We are full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. They say, no, God, you know, someone, I once heard it from someone, say, no, Jesus is coming for the church without spot nor wrinkle. And that's true. Now, but you know, I take that back. That is the description of what the church is, without spot nor wrinkle. Are you hearing me? That's the description of what the church is today. So let us make sure we don't have spot or without wrinkle. No, we saw that last 2 weeks, right? We saw that is how he has made the church, without spot nor wrinkle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, but you know, we have some people don't know how to separate between the church of Christ, the person of the church, whom we are identified in, and the local gathering. We are getting there. Are you hearing me? We enter there small today, and then we'll continue. Hallelujah. Some people don't know how to make that distinction. Now, we saw that whether you are white garment, black garment, green garment, red garment, purple garment, slippers or no slippers, shoe or no shoe, mosaic shoe, apostolic shoe, prophetic shoe, any shoe, as long as you are in Christ, we don't have any barrier. Right? Right? Whether you're a Christian in our blood or a Christian in blood, we are in Christ. Whether you are fair, white, purple, green, anything, once you are born again, we are in Christ. Whether you are tall, short, average, thin, tall, fat, everything, we are in Christ. Right? Whether you are Arsenal, Man U, Barcelona. You know, when Messi is leaving, it's no longer called Barcelona, it's Barcelona. Whether you are there and you are in Christ, we are together. We can fight on the pitch. I can call you anything on the pitch, but you know we are in Christ. Amen. We just have that unity. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. But when we take our eyes, bro, we are a Man U fan. How can you? Bible says have no fellowship with devils. I say you're a Man U fan. How? And I say, I am a Barcelona fan. How can you be a Barcelona fan? How? You have different colors. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You say, I'm an Arsenal fan. What? What? He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. But you know, we have a consolation in Christ.
Amen.
He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, Chelsea is used to simplify who we are in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, glory to God. So I'm conversing, come to Chelsea. You are closer to the sky. You're on high. Somebody was arguing with me that Arsenal is the pride of London. A pride that has faded. The real pride is Chelsea. Amen. Let's come back to scriptures. When we are where? Matthew, right? Okay, so no matter your affiliation, you went to NGU, DUNU, any school, once you're in Christ, you are where? You are united. You are one. Hallelujah. Look, you must learn to see believers that way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So let's look at the reality of this, of the church. Look at that verse 19. Another reality of the church, verse 19. chapter 16, verse 19 of Matthew. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In reality of the church, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
You know, we're not talking about kingdom of heaven today, but we'll get to treat it by next month.
Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. But let's just say one or two things about this. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Let's look at our keys. That word keys is a word that is used for authority. Authority, access, authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, we can look at it and say, in the person of the church, we'll receive the authority of the kingdom of heaven. So that word keys is used for authority. So in the church has the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And if you now look at Matthew 28, say Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me where? In heaven and on earth. So what is heaven and on earth? Remember, I've told us in this class, right? Is it here or the school of the world? Here, right? I said, when you hear the word heaven and earth used together in scriptures or in a verse,
that is the verse.
Used together in scriptures, heaven and earth, it means what is done amongst men. So heaven and earth will not mean sky and land. If you are looking at sky and land, you're not different from those in the Old Testament. Because heaven and earth will be what Moses used of heaven and earth is to show God will be in man. So when Jesus came, he said, our Father who is in heaven. So it tells you that heaven is used to show where God is. So when is God in the new birth? God is in man. When I say heaven and earth will be Moses' use of words to simplify, to talk about God will live in man. Hallelujah. John 1:14. He said, and the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst men. Hallelujah. So the word became flesh. Which word? In the beginning was the word was God, and the word was God. So God became flesh. So that is heaven and earth. So heaven, my God is now in man. Are you hearing me? So Jesus is that prototokos of heaven and earth. I mean, God is now seen in man in the incarnation. Hallelujah. So in the new birth, he now says, I will live in them. Hallelujah. So glory to God. That means heaven, where God is now in man. Glory to God. So when you read scripture and you see heaven and earth, it means what? The man in Christ. So when Jesus now came and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he needs you to see what he has been talking about, heaven and earth, before now. Hallelujah. My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the will on earth as it is in heaven? Say, give us this day the daily bread. That is to give our debt. Hallelujah. Say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven amongst men. The will of God will be done amongst men. What is the will of God? God will be in man. Hallelujah. Are you hearing that? God will be in man. He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Don't you know your body is at the temple of the Holy Ghost? God lives in man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he's saying, the authority that he has received, you'll be found where? In the man in Christ. All authority has been given to me in the believers. So we can now call the believers authority the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. Or put it this way, the authority of Christ will be found in the believer. Are you hearing me? So the authority of Christ is the believer's authority. Amen. Glory to God. So we can conclude that the church of Christ is holy, is united, has received life, has authority, has no sin issue. The church of Christ has the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Has the authority of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's see how Jesus uses the word again, called the word church in the Synoptic Gospel. Let's see how Jesus uses the word church. Now we see that he used the word church to speak about his resurrection, right? Look at Matthew 18, just two chapters away from Matthew 16. Matthew 18, from verse 17. A quick one before we look at that. When he says, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, I want to quickly say something. It's not that when he says, I will give to you. That word I will give to you is not referring to Peter. I guess I'm going to say, give Peter the kingdom. No, we're not referring to Peter. Hallelujah. Amen. He is referring to the church. Hallelujah. Okay, let's rush down to chapter 18. Are you in chapter 18? Look at verse 17. Now Jesus began to teach about dealing with an erring brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, first of all, you talk to the brother so you can gain him. If he does not hear you, you should take one or two more persons. He said, by the words of two or three witnesses, that is verse 16, every word may be established. Now verse 17. If he refuse to hear them, say tell it to the church. Now, when you use the word tell it to the church here, he's not saying, go and tell it to the body of Christ together. No. He's talking about the gathering. We'll get to see that soon. He's not saying, go and tell it to the whole. No. He said, tell it to the church. In fact, much more, he was referring to the eldership in the church. But first thing, what you must do is that tell it to the gathering, to the local assembly. That is what he means. Hallelujah. Tell it to the church. Hallelujah. But if you refuse to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. What do you do to a heathen and a tax collector? Let me catch some people here. You don't know. What did Jesus do to tax collectors and the heathen? He loved them. He showed love to them. So when he said, let him be a heathen, he said, hey, what's the reason? Just not here. Just abandon him and just, he said, don't like those. Don't allow me to get to you. Just forgive them and move ahead. Do you understand? And show them love. Amen. But that's not what we're discussing today. Verses 18, I shouldn't I say to you that whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again I say to you, now again I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Amen. It says, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I am there in the midst of them. So he uses the word church here for a gathering. When two or three are gathered in my name. He didn't call the building the church. He called it what? The gathering. The gathering. So Jesus uses church again for a gathering. A gathering. Amen. 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 The gathering of believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quick one. He first tells us in chapter 16, makes us see that the church is in himself. Right? In chapter 16. Right? Hallelujah. And then he now makes us see that the church will also be a gathering. A gathering. So that means the gathering will flow from the identification. The gathering, the physical gathering, will be as a result of what has happened in the resurrection. Are you following me? So in the resurrection, we are identified with him in the new birth by faith, right? Now that will now cause you to not have a physical gathering. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we now have the gathering as called church. Glory to God. Look at Matthew 28 again. Let's rush down to Matthew 28. Jesus' first instruction to them when he resurrected is that they should do what? Look at Matthew 28 verse 10. The first instruction to them was that they should gather. When he resurrected, the first instruction Jesus passed was that they should go and gather. I want you to observe that. So that means, I want you to see that closely. Look at chapter 28 verse 10. Are you in verse 10? And Jesus said to them, which is the women, he said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there I will see them. Did you see that? So Jesus' first instruction in the resurrection was go and tell my brethren to gather. So the gathering is an instruction. Did you hear that? We don't just gather, why you going to, I'm just going here, No. We gather is an instruction. Are you hearing me? We're going to see why we gather. So, but you see, it's an instruction. The first instruction they gave in the resurrection is go and gather. Told the ladies, he told the apostles to the apostles. You know, the apostles had an apostle, which is the women. He sent them to go and tell the apostles, tell them to gather. That I will come to meet them. Where would Jesus meet them? In the gathering of themselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at John 20. John 20. Are you in John 20? Look at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled, mark that word, they were assembled, they gathered for the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. So Jesus met them in the assembly of themselves. He instructed them to gather, they gathered. Are you following that? They gathered. And he led them where? In their gathering. Where did he teach them for the 40 days? In that gathering. He was not going to see them one by one at home. PK, Alpha. You know, that rock. No, we're not doing personal. No, he met them together. Do you understand? He didn't call, hey, Piro. No, that's not what he's doing. James C. JJ, how far? James and John, how far? James, show, let me see. One aside. No, he didn't do that. How are you? He said, let's do one aside. Behold, now I want to show you scripture. When I'm done with you, I'll go and meet Paul. I'll go and meet Peter. No, Jesus didn't do that. He met them together. Are you hearing me? He met them together. He taught them 40 days together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 1, verses 2 into 3. Acts 1, 2 into 3. It says, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostle whom he has chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen of them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He taught them 40 days together. Intense. They were together, he taught them 40 days. So I say, man of God, 2 hours.
I was discipling a young man listened to one of our messages, a clip of our message on the miraculous, and he was so excited. He said, sir, I want to learn more. I said,
who then looked. Funny enough for him, wanted to learn more. And I went to GPR message, communion. And I saw 2 hours. He said, sir. I said, no. There, you can just check. You see 1 hour. I said, 1 hour. I said, sir, can't I see like 15, 20 minutes? I said, you think is that cheap? You know what we see is 1 hour, 1 minute to pity you.
You know, some people, they would have slept like 10 times before they complete one message. He's teaching. We are not doing SMS here. No, his message. It's the gospel. Jesus taught 40 days. We are just doing 1 hour. Just 1 hour. The day is called, we'll do 24 hours.
We'll just be learning. Amen. We're getting there. The days to come. I'm getting prepared too. So I can also build the stamina to stand. You think it's easy to stand? 1 hour.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So we're like, oh wow. Just the teacher, calm down. Listen to Pastor Shegu first. Yeah, just the teacher, yeah, wait, calm down. Listen to Pastor Shegu. When you are done, come back. You know, sir, I didn't learn. Amen. So, you know, Jesus' instruction, he taught them 40 days together. And you know, they now replicated that in their meetings. All through the book of Acts, they gathered together. All through the book of Acts. Amen. Act 1. Are you there? Verse 14. They all continued in one accord. What is one accord? One accord is not... One accord means they were in the same place. Listen, they were all in the same place, doing the same thing, having one mind. That is one accord. They were in one accord. Meaning they were together. Just this is after, this is when Jesus left their sight physically. You understand that? They were found together. They were found where? Together. Remember, when he left their sight the first time, when they took him, they scattered. Pia! Everybody, alele. But when he instructed that they should gather, the moment he after the 40 days, right? Now, they were seen together. Something has changed. Jesus has taught them concerning what? The reality of the church. So when Jesus was teaching about the reality of the church, will he teach them both the reality of the church together when they gather? Yes. Are you following me?
Yes,
glory to God. Glory to God. So they gathered. They were in one accord. In prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Look at chapter 2. Verses 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were where? In where? One accord in where?
One place.
Amen. On the day of Pentecost, where people should be taking something light, but they were together. They were together. I'm preparing your mind for October 1st so that you know. They were together. I'm preparing your mind for December 25th so that you know. They were together. They were not taking something light. Like, no, there's no holiday in the peace of God. Every day is a holy day. Glory to God. Amen. October 1st is around the corner. Don't say, sir, we've been working, we've been on Santos all day. Guys, calm down. Calm down. We'll be here. We'll be doing the same thing. We know how to do. Hallelujah. Learning. Amen. They were in one accord in one place. Glory to God.
Imagine they were scattered. Would you have had Acts 2? You would have had it too. Hallelujah. What happened because they were in one accord. They were in one place.
Do you understand me? Glory to God. Look at chapter 2. That same chapter 2. 3,000 people got saved in verses 40. I mean verses 41 rather. 3,000 souls were added to them. When they say added to them, will be added to their what? Gathering. So from their numbers, it was now 3,000. Look at what they were found doing. Verses 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly with the apostles' doctrine in the fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. So they were together. So when they got saved, they were not introduced, they were introduced to gathering. They were, the Bible said 3,000 were added to them. So they were added to their gathering. Do you understand? The first place they were introduced to was gathering. They were not introduced to Greek material. They were not introduced to book. They were not told to go and learn, you know, you need to know the scriptures of yourself. We are getting there soon. Hallelujah. We'll get there. No. Hallelujah. They were not taught to go and learn scripture, but they said, no. They were brought to the gathering. Yeah. You just let me to, you know, I had someone one time. After I've led him to be saved, you know, to receive eternal life. Now, as soon as that, I now invited him for me. He's like, it's too fast now. It's too fast. I said, bros, you follow me, come with me.
Because that's the first place you should be introduced to gathering of believers.
Glory to God. I said, no, I don't want to introduce him first. I want to groom him. Or God, introduce the person first. Hallelujah. Introduce them to the gathering of believers. Not Greek and Hebrew material. Some people do that a whole lot.
Leave somebody and then you first give the person a book. Somebody has not read Bible, give the person a book.
Now that you are born again, take. That's wrong. Hallelujah. Introduce the person to what? The local assembly. Glory to God. Very important. Look at Acts 4. They gathered. Verse 23. They threatened them. They told them not to preach about Christ again. Say, hey, but if you have pain from your mouth. You know, these guys,
just recently, I began to learn from Pastor Shelby. That was
last year into this year.
I began to learn, and then I actually did see also for myself also, but learned from him majorly,
that the disciples of Jesus were actually teenagers. That was why they could threaten them. They were not people with game
like Pastor, like Kiki. Yeah, I don't have to call another name because it looks like punishment is his duty. Amen. You know your pastors are habits.
No.
That's why I love myself. Hallelujah. Actively doing the work of God. Look at me, look at Pastor Wisdom.
Actively doing the work of ministry.
You know when you start, when you need to carry this, you are moving towards retirement.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So they were actually teenagers.
You know, someone once asked me, "Is your training for always teenagers? Never get surprised about such kind of question, because the disciples of Jesus were teenagers. The elders out of all of them would be Peter, but he was still in his prime. Are you hearing me? They were teenagers. So that was why they could threaten them. You know, they said, "Then, if I catch you." They threatened them. If you hear pain about that person called Jesus, they threatened them. Hallelujah. That was the reason why they could easily threaten them. No, they would just summon them. All I'm going to have is, come on, come here, Victor Chris. Come on, come here. What do you think I'm preaching? Hallelujah. It's not what they're treating them. What is it you're preaching?
You say eternal life is what? Is what?
Eternal life. You say what? Your salvation is eternal.
How?
You know those kind of whatever.
I have faced it before.
They call me one panel one time. Come on, give this jelly girl you are doing. Somebody has threatened me before that I will lose my salvation if I carry the liquor in the morning and come bring it in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because then I was actively involved in a little organization. That was years back, 2006, 2007. So, let's now solve the liquor.
I need the liquor to look for problem. Now you come and tell me it's not scripture. I will not check scripture. I'm not sure you don't know scripture. This guy was elderly. Now look at me. Now say, if you don't take this thing out of your head in the afternoon, now I went to my market Monday shop. No, you will know Monday. I can help my business. And I went to buy activator. Now rub it. So now shiny. Now packery. Make sure it was shiny. Now went there. Talk now.
Troublemaker. I can't do that again. Look at me.
There's no jail. Still, I'm fine. I've repented.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. But you know,
the guy threatened me. In fact, reported me to the head of the church, and they summoned me for a lot. I had faced a lot of panic. But imagine I was of this age. No, nobody will call me now.
But you know, at that age, that's like Paul would tell Timothy, let no one despise your youth. You should understand. So, come here. If I hear PRG, I don't want to hear it. So when they now want to lead, I'll say, but you should not allow them to go like that. Let's whip them small. The guys chapter 5, they flog them. Meet them well. You know when they carry those top levels?
Glory to God.
Don't mind your joke. Hallelujah.
You know, that is the time they will not tell you to sweep round
down to our gates. You sweep, you feed that. Some people now walk around and look at that. Man of God.
Glory to God.
They're chatting them. But you know, after the church, look at verse 23. They didn't say, I beg, Peter, Paul, let's go to Papa's house.
Let's go to our house, Joe. This you don't tire us. Let's go there.
No! No! Hallelujah! Verse 23. And being let go. This was the day they released them from top provost. They didn't go to their house to go and eat or bar. No! They went to their own companions. They went to their gatherings. Glory to God. They went to their companions and reported all the chief priests and the elders have said to them. And what did they do? In verse 30. From verse 25, they began to pray. Verse 30. We've looked at this last week Saturday. And by stretching of your hands. Now verse 31 rather. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, meaning they were gathered together to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They don't like, I'm just praying on my own. My Christianity is just my, you know, Christianity is a one man race. One man waiting. They don't like one man here. There's no one man. We are together in it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
They came to their company. Don't get people to say all those crap.
The one man race, no God for yourself. Nobody in the assembly of believers. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Nobody in the assembly of believers, John. You know, I'm running a race. Everybody's running a race now. You don't know. No, please don't know. Glory to God. Amen. So they came to their own and they prayed. Did you see what happened? When they came to their own, they reported the matter. They prayed. Look at the kind of assembly they had. They were not assembling that. They were not saying they now had a panel. No, they don't have that kind of assembly. How did you even preach, sir? Did you pull wisdom? No. They prayed about the issue. In their gathering, they prayed. When they were done praying, what happened? Look at it there, verse 31. And they spoke the word of God with boldness, without fear. They chasing them not to preach. They speak with boldness. Amen. Amen. Look at chapter 5. Look at verses 12. In chapter 5. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were where? One accord. So they were found together. They were found where? Together. In that their gathering in chapter 6, they now needed people to help serve tables. We are in their gathering, chapter 6. Amen.
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 In chapter 20, look at Acts 20. Paul and the elders and the 12 elders in Ephesus. I want to read a verse, a couple of verses. Okay. Verses 19 into 20. Okay, verse 20. How I came back nothing. And Paul is telling them how he taught them. How I came back nothing that was helpful, but proclaim it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So he placed premium on teaching them together, publicly. Meaning publicly means they met together. He taught them all together and went and also did follow up for them house to house. But they met together. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you must understand the fact that gathering is important. In fact, there's nothing higher than important. It is important. Hallelujah. Gathering is important. When Paul wrote all of Paul's letters, aside the ones written to pastors, which is Philemon, Timothy, and Titus, apart from those three, every of Paul's letter was written to a local assembly, to a gathering, to the gathering of believers. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. It's called a local assembly, meaning we here together is a local assembly, our gathering together like this. Are you hearing me? Amen. Amen. He wrote to the local assembly. Romans 1 verse 7. To the church in Rome. The church in Rome. Hallelujah. Called saint to the church in Rome. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. To the church of God which is at Corinth. The same thing in chapter 2 Corinthians 2 verse 1, 1 verse 2 also. The church at Corinth. In Galatians 1, 1 to 2. Ephesians 1, 1. Colossians 1, 2. He wrote to their gathering. He wrote to them as a gathering. Not to individuals, to the gathering of believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So gathering is important. Look at Romans 1:11. Paul said, I long to see you. I long to see you is not one person. I long to see you in the gathering. Do you understand? In your gathering together. So gathering is important. Gathering is important. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Timothy 3:14, Paul. He said, these things I write to you, though I hope to see you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. He was talking about their gathering together. He said, you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the gathering. Meaning, there is, okay. That shows that there is such a thing called
believers' conduct when we gather together. There's such a thing called
Christian conduct in our gathering. That's the undertone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul wrote how they also conduct themselves in their gathering. Now he was talking about, now he went ahead to now talk about the elders, the eldership, setting things right. Hallelujah. In their gathering, but he said there's such a thing called believer's conduct. Why have we mentioned like that? Believer's conduct. You can download it and listen. Track 1 to track 10. Right? Is it track 10? Okay, track 1 to track 11. Don't jump and go and read. Look at 11 when you've not done 1 to 11. And each of them, minimum you have is 1 hour. So you see? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can get that and listen to that message. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In 2 Corinthians. That's in 2 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 23. He said, therefore, if the whole church come together in one, it talks about a gathering. When the church come together, it talks about a gathering. If we gather together in one place. Hallelujah. In chapter 11, verse 17, he had already showed you something. He says, he rebuked them for what they do or for their conduct when they gather. He says, now, in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. Meaning, he rebuked them for what they do when they gather. But why? Because you also gather for the better. Are you hearing me? So, Paul wrote to them and said, your gathering, the gathering of believers, is supposed to be for the better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we gather for good. Are you seeing it? We gather for what? We gather for good. We gather for the better. We don't gather, no. When we gather for good. Hallelujah. We gather to get better. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the writer of Hebrews. He shows us something very important. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. I don't know where Hebrews is. After Revelation, you see Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Are you there? Look at verse 24. I don't know verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Hallelujah. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Hallelujah. 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 So when we gather together, it's to stir ourselves up for good works. Hallelujah. Look at verse 25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As is the manner of some, but exalting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What Paul is saying is, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is what he's saying. It says, as you see the day, so we gather all the time. Hallelujah. But look at what he said. He said, not forsaking. That word forsake. Let's look at that word forsake. It's the Greek word enkatalipo. Enkatalipo. I think it again. Enkatalipo. Enkatalipo is actually lipo. It means to abandon, to abandon, to desert.
It implies to abandon something. You know,
you see why we are going back to the root word.
That word to forsake means to abandon something, to desert something. In fact,
the on the surface, what it means is to treat lightly. To treat lightly, to treat as unimportant. You understand? To treat as unimportant. So, you know, the writer of Hebrews made us see that we should not treat believers' gathering as unimportant. You find the reference for that word forsake in Matthew 27, verse 46. Amen. Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34, Acts 2:27, Acts 2:31, 2 Corinthians 4:9, 2 Timothy 4:10, 4:16, Hebrews 13:5. Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34, Acts 2:27, Acts 2:31, 2 Corinthians 4:9, 2 Timothy 4:10, 4:16, Hebrews 13:5. Let's look at Hebrews 13 verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. He said, be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you. This is God speaking. Hallelujah. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, as a believer, I have an instruction not to forsake believers' meeting. It's an instruction. I must not forsake believers' meeting. It's instruction. Amen. What does it mean? I must, number one. Okay, I'm getting there. Remember, the word forsake will mean to treat as unimportant. Right? So I must not treat believers' gathering as unimportant. And how would I know I'm treating it as unimportant? In my punctuality. In my punctuality. Coming early for meetings. Some guys around five, they'll be strolling for meeting. No. He was treated as important. Because it's an instruction for us to gather. So the moment I begin to, you know, time for meeting, oh, it's 3 o'clock, don't have it over. I'll take my bath by 3:30. Because you know you come to church. This is your church. Hallelujah. These are Sunday service. Do not enter the door by 3:30. When you know it will be prayer time. Say ah. When you came to the leading prayer meeting. Used to pray. Ah, when you came to prayer, used to be hot this prayer. Let me take my bath by 3:30. So that when pastor will be singing, I like that worship part. Now let's go. In our hands we stand high. We will worship and sing. You see your life. You are not treating believers' gathering as important. The worship session is as important. I mean, the prayer session is as important as listening to the word. Always say, I'm going for the word. Give me the word. Make it play. This is the word I want. And you miss the prayer. You are treating it lightly. You are treating it as unimportant. Are you hearing me? You are treating it as unimportant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How you attend meetings too will show you that you are forsaking believers' meeting. The gathering of believers. The people have chosen days they will come for meeting. You don't attend sales. You don't go for prayer meeting. They don't go for teach for school of the world. They just stroll in on Sunday. No. When you belong to a local church, when you belong to the assembly of believers, when you know this is a gathering you come to, you must see, you don't have
You don't have a right. I want to say this.
I've been looking out for, I've been, maybe for a while, I've been, you know,
I've been using the same people backing out. You see, we don't have the right to choose the gathering or the meeting to attend in your local church. You don't have right.
Once you have identified there, you should remain there and attend all meetings.
Because why? Remember we said in Matthew 28, when we say go make disciples, what will be the other two? Gathering, right? Gathering. So you can only be, you can be, we'll get there in this teaching. Not, maybe not to be. But you know, you can, how do I put it this way? You can only be effectively discipled in the local assembly. You cannot find spiritual growth. I said it in one of our teachings recently. You cannot find spiritual growth outside a gathering. Are you hearing me? You cannot find spiritual growth. See, I bet you. You cannot find spiritual growth. I'm telling you from experience, from knowledge of the scripture, from everything. You cannot find spiritual growth outside gathering of believers. See, I'm telling you. See, it will not work. Are you hearing me? It will not work. It is in the assembly of believers that you find spiritual growth. Because that is where you will be given instructions. So, you don't even have right to choose the meeting to attend or the meeting not to attend. When there's a meeting, except when the meeting has a restriction, let's say pastor's meeting and the other part. But when it is a meeting of your local church, you must be there. Because that is where you find spiritual growth.
Are you following me? The disciples always gather. Always.
Tell your neighbor, always.
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 No, I just want to hear the. I like Sunday's messages. It's directed to the point. Why Saturday? It's just teaching, teaching, teaching.
That's what we've just been teaching. In fact, we'll be looking at the time from 3 to 5. Sometimes 5:30. But just hearing.
Yeah,
because that is where you
first reach out. Are you hearing me? When it's time for VG, you pray. You know, there are some people who have never attended VG.
Both the one online, in line, physically, they've never come. I said,
they are going to Grand Kunu, or Kunu is going to Grand Den.
They are never coming.
Belong to sell, you are dodging. When you see your cell leader coming 1 hour before cell time, somebody has done that to me. Glory to God. Person is a pastor and I missed.
But then, when we're following up, when are we following up? Yeah! They know when I'm coming. You see them in here. Well, you know, we're faithful. We're going to meet them at the end.
I say, bro, today's meeting, let's go back. If I'm with this one, if I'm okay, you're coming for a meeting, let me go and call this other pastor. The moment I'm leaving, don't call Pastor Smart, they come. Glory to God. But you know, you cannot choose the meeting to attend in your local church. You have to attend. Oh. Amen. Amen. We'll get there. We are moving small. I'm not rushing. I'm not in a rush. We are moving together. Amen. Glory to God. Paul calls it how you ought to conduct yourself. You know, in context, Paul, I said this earlier, of course, Paul is speaking of the leadership. But the undertone makes us see that there is such a thing as believers' conduct when we gather. When we gather, the church is a disciplined place.
It's a place of discipline. Somebody once asked me that question when I was in university. So what is your view about church discipline? I said, church discipline. Is there now?
Church discipline. It's everywhere in scripture. Discipline. Church discipline. Hallelujah. I thought the church is just where you just come to just worship God and go. Just serve your God and go. Are you sure? Are you sure? Sure. If you are sure, why did Peter rebuke Ananias and Sapphira? Come back. I did not say any other thing. Let's continue. Amen. Glory to God. So the church is a place where we find discipline. You are disciplined to time. Make this time I treated you. You are here 15 minutes before the time. Will your leg see? I usually ask, will you fall sick if you are here 15 minutes before the time?
I happen to tell one of my colleagues in Boston that thanks a local church. And I say, how committed are you to your local church?
Well, like,
I just go for the word. I'm just looking at him. You know, he's a colleague. You know, his colleague. You should have light conversation, right? See, I just listen to the word, hear doctrines. And I say, how do you see your church doctrine? He said, I believe it to a reasonable extent, but not every time. I said, okay, I don't believe anything. I kept quiet for a while. I turned. I was driving. And I said, you are an irresponsible disciple. He didn't expect that coming from me. He said, you are irresponsible. Say why? And I asked him, apart from going to hear the word, what other things do you do in your church? So no, I just go to church and just to hear the word. Do you attend weekly service? No. Only Sunday. I say you are irresponsible. You just come. So when you come to the church, did you sit on the chair or you sat on the floor? Say I sat on the chair. Who are in the chair? Angels. Was the ground swept? Yes. Who swept the ground? Demons. Was there cobweb everywhere? No. Who removed it? Somebody came early. Somebody arranged the pulpit. Somebody cleaned the chair. Washed the toilet. And you went there to urinate. You cannot think. So you are irresponsible. In fact, I don't went for that. Because the thing was entering me. You know the thing is to enter someone. You know the thing that they see. You are the kind of member I pray never to have. I said, if you are my member, I will not pray to have you as a member because you are irresponsible. I don't know the church. I said, if I've never heard the name of the church before, but you know, I got angry. I said, see, you are the definition of irresponsibility. I don't pray to have you as my member. Going bad. I was like, why did you say so? I said, see, when you go to church this week, because then they prepared that all the love. I said, go and join one of the departments in your church. Attend all the service. Attend all the VG. Because he's already getting comfortable with online service. Online service. I said, you better go physically. Those are the set of people when they say, let's give. We want to do something in church. Do not be hiding the money. Give me! And I was not talking to him after 2 weeks. Had alpha. Can you be that irresponsible? That is irresponsibility. He just strolling to meeting. But you know, as I'm talking now, I am not. No. Where will we? Hallelujah. But you know, now look at it. Some people have been attending meeting for 2 years. They've never come in. And they will sit on the chair. They've never cleaned a chair. You know, there's somewhere between you. I used to clean the chairs. They've never cleaned a chair. Is anything wrong if you come 15 minutes before the meeting? Or you are here 30 minutes before the meeting? Or an hour before the meeting? You are hearing my voice now, right? Somebody had to bring this thing to this position where you have it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we know when you come early, you know, you join all through. Sometimes, see, when you come early, you have time. Some people don't have time to even read their notes. Their note is every Sunday. They remember they have a church and you now dust it. You know, you can come early and pray for the meeting. As in, pray for yourself as you receive the word. And you go over your note again. You flip through your note. What was taught last week? So that, you know, everything will just flow. You know, there are a lot of things you can do. Come early. Early. Amen. That is where I ended, though. Don't go and add Jara. I heard someone say, when you come early, angels will be there to bless you. You know, all those ones are still adding nonsense. Fabu,
tell us at the head. Just say the truth.
You don't need to paint any nonsense. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the question as we close will now be, why did Jesus, or let's put it like this, why do we have premium placed on gatherings from scriptures? Why do we have premium? Because you see, for what we've seen that there's premium placed on gatherings. Why do we have premium placed on gatherings? Why such importance? You know, we'll start looking at this from next week. But we'll just say a few. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 17, where we read, it says, when you come together, it's supposed to be for the better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our coming together is to the end that we are better. Our coming together is to the end that we get better. When you hear the word to get better is, we get improved upon when we come together. We get improved upon. We get to see that. Hallelujah. We get improved upon. We get better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, where we read. It says, look at that Hebrews 10 24 again. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Hallelujah. So we gather so we can be stirred up for good works. Look at this, look at Judas. One denied Jesus, one betrayed Jesus. Look at both of them. You know, one denied Jesus. I hope you know, Peter did, right? Judas betrayed Jesus. What is the difference? Leave grammar, deny, betray. They did the same thing. As if they betrayed now. The denier, betrayer is deeper than denier. Bro, leave grammar. They disappointed. Abi? They betrayed both of them. Look at Peter. Peter denied. Even a little child. Peter, I have frost. Frost. May you give me fish. And Peter looked. And look at the Bible, say he cursed her. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't know the snow banana. Ah, you know, he something that. And at that point, the call crowed. Peter denied Jesus, betrayed Jesus. He refused to be identified with him. Judas betrayed him too. But you know, what is the difference between Judas? What happened? Now, what is the difference between Peter's denial and Judas' betrayal? Judas, when he betrayed, he went to hang himself. Right? Right? Peter, when he denied, what did he do? When Jesus came, Jesus couldn't find Judas. Judas has gone to hang himself. But Jesus found Peter. Where did he find Peter? In the gathering. In the gathering. So in that gathering, Peter was restored. In that gathering was where Peter got restored. Hallelujah. 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 That was in that gathering. So in the resurrection, Peter was found in the gathering, in the assembly of believers. Judas was found on the tree, dead. Hallelujah. Question.
if Judas didn't hang himself and was found, came back to the gathering, would he have been restored? He didn't allow us to know, but truly he would have been restored. He would have. Because he hanged himself. He didn't make us know what would have happened, but truly he would have been restored.
Hallelujah. Because of what scripture teaches us. Hallelujah. He would have been restored, but he hanged himself. Hallelujah. There's something about the believers gather. When believers gather, you are protected. You are restored.
When you come together, when we come together like this, we're restored. When we pray together, when we come, when we meet in our cell, our cell group is a subgroup of this local church. It's a subgroup. When we meet in our threes and our fours, you know, we are restored. You know that in our gathering together, we can be kept from backsliding. But when you are alone, you can easily backslide. But when you are among the company of believers, when you are in the company of believers, it will be hard for you to backslide. It will be.
Hallelujah. Especially in the company of believers where the word is taught and the things of the Spirit are given expressions. Hallelujah. 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 Because in our company, in the company of ourselves, we stir ourselves up.
You know, as we go into this week, I want to urge us to ensure that every meeting that we have here, you make up your mind to attend. Have a seat. Attend yourself. We meet on Saturday for School of the Word by 3:30. Make sure you are there. Very soon we will soon start our Friday prayer meeting. Just because of the lockdown and some other things. On Sundays like this, make sure you are there by 3:30. You are there. At least at most, be here 15 minutes before the time. Hallelujah. Be here 15 minutes before the time. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have you learned something today? Turn to someone.